The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
If you don't start believing right about who you are, then change behavior won't last long. This is where the devil's been defeating people. He keeps telling you you are something based on what you do. And you are not that based on what you do. You are who you are based on what Jesus did. The Bible calls itself the mirror. If you want to know what your born-again spirit looks like, look in the mirror. So what you read in this book is a perfect description and a reflection of what God made you on the inside. Oh, praise God.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
2 Corinthians. Chapter 7 and verses 1 through 2. I want to show you how to see and experience real life transformation in every area. How to see and experience real life transformation. This is not a bunch of self-help stuff. This is what God promised he would do if we would just come to the place of understanding it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll go pretty quick through this review. Verses 1 through 2, he says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us," Paul says. "We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." And verse 2 is where I have the problem when Paul said we have wronged no man. Because in the book of Acts chapter 8, if you'll flip over there, Paul says he has wronged no man. And I'm saying, my good Lord, I caught the Apostle Paul in a lie. Because over here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, he says, "As for Saul," now Saul is who Paul was before he got converted. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." The Bible says he dragged out men and women and committed them to prison. Now, that don't sound to me like having wronged no man. So what was going on here? Paul in one verse says he had wronged no man, and then we go in another verse and find that he wronged a whole lot of people. Well, our old self, the sinner, the one who is dead, that used to struggle with so many things, that was the old man. What we read about in Acts chapter 8 was the old man. How many of you know about what your old man used to struggle with? That was the old man. But now the new self, the righteous new creation, is created in God's image. It desires only to do God's will. This is who we really are. So every one of us have an old man. An old man with old deeds and old struggles and old sin and old stuff we used to do. But the day we got born again and made Jesus the Lord of our lives, the old man died. And the new man began to live. So the old man died, the new man began to live, and the new man was created after the image of God. The new man is created the righteousness of God. The new man's created the redeemed of God. So I understand when somebody said that was the old me. I told you a story on Sunday about me meeting some friends in the past, and they come up to me and they said, "Creflo Dollar. Boy, you remember when we used to do that?" And I thought, "No, wait a minute. You're talking about the old Creflo. He dead. You never met me before. Hello, I'm Creflo. How you doing?" Because the old man has died, the new man lives. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "The old man is dead.
Old man is dead.
You're sitting next to the new man." All right, so now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17 then. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," if any man be in Christ, that means you. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. How many of you are in Christ? That means you're a new creature. Well, what did he say? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become what? Now, the NIV of that same verse says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here, the old has gone. So we're talking about your new nature. Once you get born again, you have a new nature on the inside of you. You have a new spirit created after God. Now, that new man on the inside of you wants to influence your soul, your thinking. That new man that's created after God wants to influence your body and your decisions and how you live. That new man, which is just like God, wants to influence everything you do. But the love of God will never force itself on anybody. You have to yield to it. You have to yield to it. The spirit that is in you is a brand new man that desires to do new things. So you got to choose to let this new nature be the one who dominates the whole you. A newborn baby doesn't have a past, which means the new you is not responsible for what the old you did. Say out loud, I'm a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. Say this, praise God. My past sins are gone. Now, but here's the question. What if now I'm born again and I got this new man like you said and like you just read the scripture about? But what if I still commit a sin after I become born again? Well, one of the things we established Sunday is we establish the truth that the sinner is dead and we are truly brand new creations. Now, this is the thing you got to get in on the inside of you. The sinner is dead. Say that. The sinner is dead. The sinful man is dead. The new creation is what lives in me now. All right, now here's what I'm, now think with me just for a moment now. How many of you are born again? All right, do you believe the old you is dead? Do you believe you got a new you living in you? Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, I want to believe it, but I sure ain't acting like it. Keep that in your mind. I want to believe I'm new, but I'm still doing some old stuff. Man is a what? He possesses a what? He lives in a what? Man is a spirit. He is not a soul. You've heard in religion, spirit and soul used interchangeably as if they're the same. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions. It's the thinker, the chooser, the feeler. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You are a spirit. You're not a body. The body is where your spirit and soul live. When you die, your spirit and soul separates from the body. And if nobody's home, the body falls to the ground. But you are a spirit. Created in the image of God. You can't kill a spirit. So when your spirit leaves this body house, it goes to another house. And wherever your spirit and soul goes is based on the decisions you made while you were on this planet. So even though your spirit is born again, when you got saved, your spirit got born again, but your soul stayed the same and your body stayed the same. Now, God's desire is that your soul and your body experience some of what your spirit has experienced. But you have got to yield your soul and your body to your new man. See, you got two against one, body and soul against the spirit. But if you'll yield your mind, which is your soul, to your spirit, then your spirit and soul will make your body line up. Are you listening to me? Now somebody says, well, wait a minute. What does my spirit look like? Well, the Bible calls itself the mirror. If you want to know what your born-again spirit looks like, look in the mirror. Now what happens when you look in the mirror? You see your what? You see your what? So when you look in the Word of God, you see the reflection of your spirit. Just like you look in the natural mirror and you see the reflection of your face, when you look in the Word of God, you see the reflection of your spirit. So what you read in this book is a perfect description and a reflection of what God made you on the inside. Oh, praise God. Now check it out. If you never read this Bible, you never really understand what you look like in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. All right, now listen to me very carefully. When we receive salvation, our spirit is born again. And now, this new divine nature is to influence both our body and our soul. Having the right belief about yourself is the key to transformation. Real transformation happens when we discover who we really are. Transformation, listen to me, transformation starts, watch this, with believing. Transformation in your life, transformation in your relationships, transformation where your finances are concerned, transformation in your profession. Whatever the transformation is, it starts with believing. It starts with believing. Don't ever forget that. I'll prove it to you in just a moment. Transformation of any kind starts with belief. And often we speak about repentance as change of behavior. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Repentance is not change of behavior. A changed behavior is the fruit of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind about who you believe you were. Repentance is a change of mind. Changed behavior is the result of repentance. But as long as real repentance doesn't take place, the changed behavior might not last long. If real repentance, if you don't start believing right about who you are, then changed behavior won't last long. You see, if you come to church and you get born again, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and at that particular point you believe that you are a Christian, but then you go and misbehave or behave another way, and now you're questioning what you believe the Sunday you got saved, the changed behavior won't last long. You got to be convinced that you are who God said you are. Are you listening to me? This is where the devil's been defeating people. He keeps telling you you are something based on what you do. And you are not that based on what you do. You are who you are based on what Jesus did. And you got to stop letting your behavior determine your identity. Your behavior does not determine who you are. Jesus has determined who you are. You just got to believe it. So repentance is the decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and a change of action. Change of belief comes first. That's what's got to happen. I got to change what I'm believing about who I am. I got to change, and I got to stop believing what somebody told me I was. I can no longer believe I'm just a thug. I can no longer believe that I'm just broke all my life. I can no longer believe that I'm sorry. I can no longer believe I'm a sinner. I can no longer believe I'm broke. I got to change what I believe about myself. Change of belief comes first. I got to start believing differently. Now, I don't know what it is you've been believing about yourself, but if you have not been believing that you are the righteousness of God, if you have not been believing that you are redeemed, if you have not been believing that you are holy and sanctified, you have been believing the wrong thing about yourself. So if any transformation is going to change, if any transformation is going to take place in your life, then you got to start believing different. You got to change the belief, the way you believe about who you are, that's got to change. Say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God. I believe that. So what happens? As we change our mind about who we are, as we change our belief about who we are, the fruit of this repentance will be a change of behavior, a change that will remain because we changed our belief about who we are. As we repent from self-righteousness and start believing the gospel of Christ, then we will experience that gospel and the power of God to salvation and transformation in our lives. We would make a big mistake, ladies and gentlemen, if we keep turning it around and letting our behavior tell us who we are and what we should believe about ourselves. Instead, believe who the Word of God says you are. Now, I want you to say this after me. This is what you need to be believing about yourself. Say out loud, I'm a brand new creation. I'm the righteousness of God. I am holy. I am blameless. And I am God's beloved child. Say it again. I'm a brand new creature. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm God's beloved child. Say this out loud. In me is the nature of God and the desire to live for Him. This is who I really am. This is now what I believe. This is now what I believe. This is now what I believe. Do you believe that? See, that's the issue. Your whole life is going to be based on, do you believe the identity that Jesus gave you? Some may say that when we preach the gospel of God's grace, that we do not focus enough on repentance and we don't focus enough on holiness. But you can now clearly see that statement is not true. Why? As we preach the truth about who we are, and then we talk about that fact that we've become a new creation in Christ Jesus, that's real repentance. Because real repentance is changing your mind about who you used to be. Repentance is a change of mind and start believing differently concerning who you used to be. So that's real repentance. How can we ask people to change the fruit without going to the root of the problem? The root to all of our problems is we don't believe the identity that Jesus gave us. Something keeps happening to cause you to no longer believe that you're the righteousness of God. Something keeps happening to cause you to no longer believe that you're not a new creation. Something keeps happening to cause you to no longer believe that you are who Jesus said you are. And you got to stop that from happening. Are you listening to me? Now, how does real transformation take place? I want you to listen to me in these next 2 minutes like you ain't never listened to me since you've been knowing me. Now, can we agree we all want transformation in our lives? I mean, in one area or another. It may not be the same areas. How many of you want transformation in some area of your life? We all want transformation in some area of our lives. And I don't know specifically, and I won't start calling it out, but I know we all want transformation. So how does this transformation happen? I'm going to give you this word, focus. Focus. All right, now think about that word, focus. I can look all over this building, or I can focus in on this one book, a target now. So am I saying focus on your weaknesses? Am I saying focus on your problems? Am I saying focus on your lack? Am I saying focus on all of the things that are wrong with you? No, I'm not saying that. Listen to me. Whatever you focus on, you give strength to. I'm needing you to think tonight. Whatever you focus on, you give strength to. What are you focusing on? Take the strong areas of your life, those areas that are defeating you, and I guarantee you that's where your focus is. Whatever you focus on, that's what you give strength to. You focus on your weaknesses, you give strength to your weaknesses. You focus on your problems, you give strength to your problems. You focus on your habits, you give strength to your habits. Even though God has made all of everything available to us, what do we need to focus on in order to see transformation in our lives? I've been looking for this answer all my life. I hope y'all follow me. I'm getting ready to show you, if you just focus on what I'm getting ready to tell you, you're going to be able to see transformation in any area of your life. I finally get it. And here's what he says to focus on. Your focus, my focus, should be on Christ and Christ in me. Write that down. Christ and Christ in me. Look at Colossians chapter 1, 27 and 28. My focus should be, now when I first looked at this, I'm thinking, well, big deal, what are you saying? And I had to focus on what I was saying. And I'm trying to get you tonight because I put myself in your seat tonight hearing this message, and I just gave you the answer of a lifetime, and if you don't focus, it'll go straight over your head. Okay, praise the Lord, focus on Christ. Okay, I focus on Christ, praise the Lord. Ain't nothing changed. I focus on Christ. I focus on the last way. No. Listen to what the scripture says. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. Now that word glory is manifestation. What is the riches of the manifestations or the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of manifestation. So my hope, my expectation of healing being manifested is Christ in me. Deliverance being manifested, Christ in me. A new job being manifested, Christ in me. Me changing my anger, my attitude, Christ in me. Everything I've been trying to get manifested is going to be based on if I can focus on Christ in me. I've been focusing on me. And me ain't been able to manifest nothing but more trouble that I need God to help me with. And he says, stop focusing on your ability and your talent and you. Focus on Christ in you, the hope of manifestation. Then every time I come around you, what's going on? Well, this is going on, but Christ in me gonna handle that. Whoa, what's going on with your house? Well, they saying they're gonna take it by Friday, but Christ in me gonna handle that. What's happening? Every answer to every situation in your life ends up being the focus on Christ and where? He in me. Not Christ in heaven. Not Christ that I got to scream out to see if he can hear me. Not Christ that's, I don't know where he is. But I'm talking about Christ in me. Is my earnest expectation of manifestation in this earth. It's, you know, God ain't never been complicated. But the revival and the manifestation we're about to see, when people see it and they ask you to explain how it happened, you're going to say, well, it's Christ in me. Didn't you know it? Don't you know? What you mean Christ in you? Well, my focus is on Christ in me. He is the manifestation. He is my hope of manifestation. See, I've been trying to get stuff to happen and it hadn't happened. So I started focusing on Christ. And stuff started happening. Well, I dare you to lose focus on everything else and focus on Christ. Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect. How? See, you ain't perfect. You and I, if we are not in Christ, we are not perfect. If we are not in Christ, we can't be perfect. If we are not in Christ, we can't be complete. And isn't it amazing how we've been trying to be perfect without Christ? Are you following me? All right, now watch this now. The NIV of Colossians 1:28, let me read it to you. It says, he is the one who proclaim, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature, where? In Christ. So first, Paul says that we preach Christ and not ourselves. We are perfect in Christ Jesus. We are not perfect in ourselves. The gospel doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with Christ. The gospel of grace doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with Christ. You know the big difference between the gospel and religion? Religion focuses on who we are in ourselves. And it disqualifies even the best people. But the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, focuses on who we are in Christ. And it qualifies even the worst people. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Religion focuses on who we are in ourselves. It focuses on, oh, I'm mighty because I have a degree, or I'm good because I have experience, or I'm this because religion has you looking at you in you. And you know what happens when it's just looking at ourselves in ourselves? That will disqualify even the best of us. But the gospel of Christ, it doesn't focus on us looking at ourselves in ourselves. It focuses on us in Christ.